Jesus left the apostles and said, wait until there's power from on high. Until. They just got in the upper room until the Holy Spirit came. David just locked in and said, until. Until, I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to take. But I know what God wants to do. And I'm going to lock in and I'm going to adjust my life and I'm going to reorient my schedule and my priorities and my resources and my finances. I'm going to say no to other things so that I can say yes to God having a resting place and a dwelling place in my city.
You're listening to the Presence Pioneers podcast.
Hey everyone, today we're going to be continuing our deep dive into Psalm 132 and what it means to host the presence of God and be a presence pioneer. This is normally a bonus episode just for our paid subscribers, but I'm feeling generous because we just had our 150th podcast episode. So you're going to get part two for free, even if you're not a paid subscriber. We've been talking about David's vow, his vision, his desire to see a resting place, a dwelling place for the presence of God in his city, in his generation, in his country, in his nation, and our desire to do the same thing. And so we're clarifying what it was that David's even desiring for in Psalm 132. And we've gotten through verse 7, and we're going to finish up the rest of the chapter today, Lord willing. And I've been sharing 4 points of clarity around what exactly David means and what God means when he talks about a resting place, a dwelling place for his presence. So we got through 3 of those last week, and we're going to share the 4th today, and then I'm going to get into God's response to David's vow. Before we continue on, I just want to thank everyone who's a longtime, listener or part of this podcast community. I'm so grateful for you all. Seriously, it's amazing that you would connect with us, listen, that you would share, that you would comment, that you would email us and rate and review the podcast. Just so thankful, so grateful. If you're new, if this is your first time tuning in with us, first of all, go back and watch last week's episode, part one, and then come back and watch this, but also hit follow and subscribe wherever you're tuning in. We produce podcasts, episodes full of teaching and interviews about worship, prayer, missions, revival. So if you're excited about those things like we are, then you found the right podcast today. We want to help you to host and experience the presence of God because we believe God's presence changes everything. All right, let's dive in here. Psalm 132, again, 4 clarifying statements. When we talk about a resting place, a dwelling place for God, what are we talking about? And I'll briefly mention the first 3. We're talking about not just God's omnipresence, but his manifest presence. Number 2, we're not just talking about personal breakthrough, we're talking about corporate breakthrough. Number 3, we're not just talking about experiencing God's presence, but we're talking about hosting God's presence. Number 4, we're not just talking about kingdom now, but we're also talking about kingdom not yet. Kingdom now versus kingdom not yet. In other words, when are we going to see God's resting place? When are we going to experience this glorious presence? When are we going to get to see the fulfillment of some of these promises? And so when God's manifest presence begins to come, his kingdom begins to come with it. So there's a sense in which we experience his kingdom now, but there's another sense in which we experience God's kingdom when Jesus returns again. And I've talked about this on the podcast before because it's so important. And I continually run into ideas and mindsets that are missing the point, or maybe they're just part of the truth. They get one or the other, but they don't get both. That there's a sense in which God is pouring out his spirit and bringing his kingdom and his rule and his reign to the earth right now. It's already happening. People are getting saved and healed and transformed, and things are getting better. There's another sense in which there's still sin in the world, And there's still spiritual warfare and there's still brokenness. And there will continue to be some measure of that until Jesus comes to the earth in the flesh and brings his kingdom to the earth. All right. So why am I bringing up the kingdom of God? Because Psalm 132 is not just about the presence of God, but it is about the kingdom of God. David understood this. He said, God is enthroned on the praises of his people. David's desire and God's desire was not just the experience of the goosebumps of the presence of God, but that God's kingdom would come, that he would rule, that he would reign, that he would have his way. You get a couple little clues about this, okay? Verse 7, where we were last week, let us go to his dwelling place and worship at his footstool. Dwelling place is the phrase I want you to see there. The next verse, arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place. Resting place. So these two terms, resting place and dwelling place, they're used interchangeably. They both are referring to the manifest presence of God, but there's some cool insights to this idea of a resting place of God. There's more revelation there. It points us to the biblical idea of rest. Where can God rest? When you think of rest in the Bible, you think of the Sabbath, right? The place of peace, the place of shalom, right? On the seventh day, God rested. He created the world in six, and then he rested. Why did he rest on the seventh day? Well, everything was perfect. It was just right. There was no contradiction. There was no conflict. There was no sin. There were no issues. All throughout the Bible, when you see God rising up, standing up, you know, that is God's active engagement with the world to push back darkness and bring his light, to push back the kingdom of darkness and to bring the kingdom of heaven. So God rises up, he stands up, he wakes up to bring his kingdom. And when his kingdom is established, he comes into the place of rest, which makes verse 8 very interesting. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place. Now that phrase, arise, O Lord, is the very similar phrase that they would use in Moses' day when they had the mobile tabernacle. And when the cloud and the fire began to move and they would begin to move the tabernacle, they would say, arise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered. And it was the fact that God was marching, God was rising up. He was advancing his presence into and towards the promised land. And there was a musical procession that would go with that. If you read through Psalm 68, there's this vision, this idea, rise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered. And there's songs, there's music, there's worship. And that procession is the coming of the kingdom of God in the midst of worship, that God is enthroned in praises and that he's pushing back his enemies and he's bringing righteousness and justice and healing and wholeness when he comes. So when David says, arise, Lord, to your resting place, he's saying our goal here is that God would have a place, not just for his presence, so we would feel good in his presence and kind of do that, but that God would have a place where he has his way, where he rules and reigns over everything, where there's righteousness, justice, joy, peace, all the things that come with the kingdom of God. And it almost seems like a contradiction because we're asking God to arise to a resting place. Normally he would rest in a place or he would arise. We're saying, God, arise, deal with anything that needs to be dealt with so that you can stay and rest here. So that the place where you are is in perfect alignment, perfect shalom, Lord, that you are the king over all in that place. I say sometimes when the king comes, the kingdom comes. When his presence comes, get ready because God's going to start confronting anything that is in contradiction to his heart, in contradiction to love. And the kingdom of God is his domain. It's where he has his way. So Psalm 132 is about God's presence coming. It's about a place for God's presence and glory to rest. But when his glory comes, he begins to confront anything that is in opposition to him and his purposes and his heart. And any darkness begins to get exposed by the light of his presence. So the ultimate vision of Jesus is to see the increasing sway of his kingdom in every place and among every group. And so Psalm 132 is in this tension of the kingdom now and not yet. David's saying, God, we want more of your presence and more of your kingdom. This is our desire. And so we've got to understand what it is we're asking for, right? We've got to understand we're asking for the presence of God. We want to have prayer, worship, revival. We want all these things, the glory of God, miracles, healings, unity, all these great things. We're asking for the kingdom of God when we ask for these things. We're asking that God would come and have his way. And we get a measure of that now, but we're going to get the fullness of that when Jesus comes again. And that's actually what the second half of this psalm is all about. It's about the promise that God makes to David to bring forth the kingdom of God to the earth through one of David's son, which would ultimately be Jesus, the anointed one, ruling and reigning from Jerusalem forever over the nations, where there'd be joy and provision and peace and victory over his enemies. I don't know if David fully grasped what exactly it was he was longing for and praying for, but this is what God promises. And so when we start to understand these four points of vision, we go, okay, God wants to bring his manifest presence. He wants a corporate breakthrough, not just a personal breakthrough. He doesn't want us to just experience his presence sometimes. He wants us to host it, not just a visitation, a habitation. He wants not just to bring his presence, but his kingdom. And we go, oh man, this creates some tension where we go, wow, we want this, God, but how are we going to get to that point? We want the kingdom of heaven on the earth, but we don't yet see it fully manifested. And that tension, that desire for more, that desire for fullness is what stirred up David's heart to go, oh God, won't give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for you. I think that's part of even verse one, right? Where it says, remember, Lord, in David's favor, the hardships he endured. What are the hardships that David endured? Well, part of that is zeal for his house, zeal for God's house. He wanted this. And there's some sense in which people didn't fully get what was in David's heart. Psalm 69:9, he says, zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Saying, I'm experiencing reproach, hardships. Why? Zeal for your house. Oh, I want a place for you, God. People are like, what is David's deal? Why is he so hung up on this presence of God thing? Why is he so hung up on this house of prayer thing? Why is it so hung up on this revival thing? Come on, David, let's get on with it. Is it really that big of a deal? And David's over here praying and singing and fasting and longing for this thing. People go, what are you doing, David? But this was David's heart, the man after God's own heart, connecting with the heart of God. And there was an affliction in it. And listen, if you are a presence pioneer, or if you want to be a presence pioneer, let me tell you, I love you, but get ready for some affliction. Get ready for some reproach. Because what we're doing is we're bringing something, we're pioneering something that's not there yet. And you see it, but other people don't fully see it. You might understand it to some extent, but other people could not understand it. And the journey of pioneering, the journey of hosting the presence of God, is a journey of affliction. It's a journey of joining in with the intercession of Jesus for his kingdom to come. And there's a pain in that. There's a tension in that. There's a joy in that. There's a delight in that. There's an intimacy in that. There's miracles and breakthrough and power and glory in all of that. But there's also the pain. There's the affliction. There's the groaning for God to come and to have his way. So we want to enter into this, if we want to see Psalm 132 manifested in our lives, we need to get ready for the pushback. We need to get ready for the warfare. We need to get ready for the trials and tribulations, because that is the path of the pioneer. And David experienced that. Jesus experienced that more than anyone. And we will experience that as well. So David's got these afflictions. He's got this vow. He goes, oh, Lord, this is what I see. I see what could happen. I see that you want to rest in a place. I see that you want to come and manifest your presence. God, I see that you want to not just dwell, you want to rest. You want to bring your kingdom. You want to, he says in verse 9 and 10, let your priest clothed with righteousness, your saints shout for joy. God, this is what you want. You want righteousness. You want joy. Oh, Lord, don't turn away your face. Do this. And he says, I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord. I want to zero in on that word until. Until. This vision requires a vow. The dream requires a response. Some said when we see Jesus, the price tag disappears. For those of us who oppress as pioneers, and we say, this is what we long for, Jesus, we're willing to pay the price. Hey guys, it's Matthew. We'll get back to the episode in just a moment. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider becoming a paid subscriber. Paid subscribers receive exclusive access to brand new bonus podcast episodes every month, along with our library of previous bonus episodes. You will also get free access to my Enjoying Prayer video course, bonus articles from our Substack newsletter, discounts on books, and more. You can become a paid subscriber today for only $5 a month or $50 a year. If you've enjoyed this free podcast, becoming a paid subscriber is a simple way for you to help us cover the cost of producing this resource and partner with Presence Pioneers Media in equipping the church in day and night prayer, prophetic worship, missions, and revival. Click the link in the show notes or visit media.presencepioneers.org to sign up today. But the price is like, of course, we would pay anything. We would do whatever it takes, right? So David here is like using hyperbolic language to say, God, am I going to sleep until I get your presence? That's what I want. Until you come to Jerusalem, Lord, I'm not even going to sleep. And obviously Jesus had to sleep. Everybody has to sleep. But what he's saying is, God, I'm going to let my life get interrupted. I'm going to get consumed. Zeal for your house has consumed me. I'm going to get consumed. I'm going to make sacrifices. I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow you in order to see this reality in my city, in order to see the vision you've given me come to pass. This is the heart of a presence pioneer, we say, until. The presence pioneer locks in, the heart of David locks in and says, until. I don't know how long. It's that same thing where Jesus left the apostles and said, wait until there's power from on high. Until. They just got in the upper room until the Holy Spirit came. David just locked in and said, until. Until. I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to take, but I know what God wants to do. And I'm going to lock in and I'm going to adjust my life and I'm going to reorient my schedule and my priorities and my resources and my finances. I'm going to say no to other things so that I can say yes to God having a resting place and a dwelling place in my city, in my generation. This is what was burning in David's heart. Let it burn in our hearts as well. David was locked into this vision. And God is raising up those who will lay down their lives for the gospel of Jesus until. God is raising up those who will pray and fast until. This is not a sprint. This is not a fad. This is not a season. This is God's desire for the earth, that his presence and his glory and his kingdom would come here. This is the language of extravagance. Presence pioneers are extravagant worshipers, extravagant lovers, extravagant in their obedience, extravagant in their prayers, extravagant in their faith. I can't help but think when I think about this language of not sleeping, not giving slumber to my eyelids, I can't help but think of Isaiah 62, the promise of day and night prayer and worship that will be fueling the return of Jesus. where Isaiah says, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day and all the night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth." This idea of giving no rest until, right? Just like it is in Isaiah 62, Psalm 132, no rest until what? Until there's a resting place, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. All right, so this is David's vow. I've got to get here to the last part of Psalm 132, because this is honestly, this is the best part. This is God's vow to David, God's covenant to David, which affects us, because this covenant and this promise has yet to be fully fulfilled. And so it's still unfolding right now as we speak, and it's yet to be fulfilled, okay? Because the kingdom, like I said, is now and not yet. So there's a sense in which this covenant is playing out, but there's another sense in which it's yet to come, what God has promised. So David's going, "God, I want to build a resting place for you." And God turns around to David and says, "Oh, I'm going to build a resting place. You get ready." So the story goes, David is longing for the presence. He becomes king. And then he says, "Arise, Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of the mind." He goes and gets the ark from Kiriath-Jearim, which we talked about last week, which Psalm 132 calls the fields of Jar. He goes, he finds the ark, and then he brings it into Jerusalem. There is joy, there's righteousness, there's celebration, there's dancing. David brings the tabernacle, the tent, to Jerusalem, and he sets it in a tent called the Tent of David. But his ultimate desire is that there would be a permanent place for God to rest. And David sets up the tabernacle, the Tent of David, right next to his house is where he lives. And he establishes the Levites. They sing, they praise, they pray, they prophesy day and night for 33 years. This is what I wrote my book, David's Tabernacle, all about. And there's this sense, there's a partial fulfillment of David's desire for a dwelling place, right? They've set up the tabernacle of David. God's glory is there because the ark is there. But there's still something just kind of in David's heart. He's going, something, there's more. There's still more. David had just set up the tabernacle of David, but he's going, he's looking at the tent. He's looking at his castle, his house where he lives. And he goes, "Man, we need to build God a permanent place. He needs a temple." And so he goes to the prophet Nathan, "I want to build God a temple." And Nathan says, "Sure, go for it." But then God wakes up Nathan and says, "No, you need to go give a message to David." You can read about this in 1 Chronicles 17, 2 Samuel 7. I'm just kind of paraphrasing here for the sake of time. But Nathan comes to David and relays the covenant of David, as it's called. And that's what, starting in verse 11 of Psalm 132, it's talking about the Davidic covenant, this promise God made to David. Here's how it's summarized here in Psalm 132, verse 11. "The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is thy resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priest I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout with joy. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine." God says, "Oh, David, you wanted to build a place for me? Oh, man, I'm going to make a promise to you that your sons will sit on this throne." And he says, "I'm going to establish my resting place. I'm going to build a house." David says, "I want to build you a house, God." God says, "I'm going to build a house. I'm going to build a resting place in Zion, for this is where I've desired it. This is the place where I want to dwell, is in Zion." So there's multiple facets to this. Part of this is the promise for a king in the Davidic covenant. And he's basically saying there's going to be a king. And as long as that king walks in righteousness, he'll be my king forever. Well, this king's going to be one of the sons of David. And none of David's sons had been righteous for years and years and years until Jesus, the son of David, was born. And David is the Davidic king. He is the one who fulfills this promise. He will rule and reign forever and ever from Zion. And he will come again. He will take his place and set up his throne in Jerusalem and rule the nations in the millennial kingdom forever and ever after he comes to the earth. And this is exciting that Jesus is going to come. So David's going, God, I want you to come in my generation. I want you to come in my city. And God's going, I will do that, but I'm doing something so much bigger than that. I'm going to actually fill the earth with my glory. I'm going to bring my son to the earth through you, David, and he's going to do what you were wanting to do in Jerusalem all over the world. He's going to be the greater David. He's going to be the one who really establishes a resting place. He's going to be the one who really brings forth my kingdom. So David wanted to build God a temple, but God promises to build David a house. David makes a vow to God for a resting place, but God makes a vow to David for a resting place. And God's promise to David was unconditional. Okay, some of the covenants in the Bible are conditional. This one is unconditional. Verse 11, he says, he will not relent. He will not turn back. He will have one of David's sons ruling and reigning in righteousness and joy. He will bring his presence and his kingdom to the earth. This is what he's promised it. So David couldn't fully fulfill the vow that he had in his heart, but Jesus, oh man, Jesus is not sleeping. Jesus is not slumbering. He is bringing forth the presence of God to the earth. And when we get this same desire in our hearts, when we get this Psalm 132 craving, this God, we want your presence, we want your kingdom to come, we are connecting to the zeal of Jesus and the very desire that's in the Son of David to do this. He is the Lord who says, I'm going to bring my presence into your city. I'm going to bring my presence into your nation. And one day I will come again and I'll sit on my throne in Jerusalem. And from Israel, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. One day the glory of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. You go, oh, wow, I just wanted to have some good worship and prayer time and have a great house of prayer and see some revival in my city. And God's going, I want that too. That's great, but that's a little seed of what I'm going to do. It's a little foretaste of glory divine. It's the kingdom now, but there's a kingdom not yet. It's a little bit that's coming spiritually, but there's the fullness that's going to come when Jesus returns to the earth again. And that's exciting. As we prepare resting places for him, he is preparing a resting place for his bride for all eternity. Believe it or not, that's what Psalm 132 is talking about. And he's talking about doing that now spiritually to an extent. And he's talking about doing it in fullness one day. He's saying, I want to dwell in Zion. I'm going to dwell in Jerusalem. Right now we have that spiritual Zion that Hebrews talks about. We come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. So right now when we worship, when we gather in day and night worship and prayer, when we gather as the priesthood to minister to the Lord, God rests among us. He dwells among us spiritually, right? We join with that heavenly throne room. And there's a sense in which God manifests himself now. God's saying one day that heavenly throne room, that heavenly Zion is going to come together with the earthly Zion. And he said, from there, I will abundantly bless her provision. I'll satisfy her poor with bread. God, man, this is what happens when God's presence comes. This is why we say God's presence changes everything, because this is what happens. Abundance, blessing, satisfaction. I will clothe the priest with salvation. The saints will shout for joy. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine. He pushes back our enemies. He pushes back the darkness. When his presence comes, everything changes. When we gather to worship, there's a little spiritual Zion that happens right there in our midst. As we worship him, there's abundance, there's provision, but we always long for more. We always long for the fullness that one day Jesus will split the sky and his kingdom will come and that his will be done. And so this is why we as Presence Pioneers, we find our satisfaction in the presence of God every day. This is why we learn to host him together in our communities. And this is why there's always this longing, this ache, this prayer, this groaning for the return of Jesus as well, because that's really what we're praying for. That's really having Psalm 132 in our hearts. The ultimate fulfillment is that Jesus would come again. So God, I pray, Lord, that anyone who's tuning into this podcast today, God, that you would put this desire in their hearts. God, you desire to rest among us. Lord, you said you would rest in Zion, for you have desired it. But Lord, we want that same desire. May our longings be yours. May your will be ours. May the things that you're zealous for be the things that we're zealous for. And would you cause us to be pioneers of your presence, those that host you well, those that build resting places for you. And Jesus, we pray that you would come again. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, return to the earth and have your way forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Don't forget, God's presence changes everything.